On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some Half Acre beer, and we talk about Big Hugs, we talk about Sketchbook's Imperial Stout release, we talk about the Revolution release that's happening this week with Double Barrel, Rye Way to Heaven, and Mineshaft Gap. And we get into some Metropolitan news, as well as some Two Brothers news. All that and more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick Wade.
We took a turkey day off.
And we're back, man.
Off, yeah.
You know, we're back. Feels good to be back.
I know. Yeah. I kind of missed, my Thanksgiving was different. It usually involves lots of beers being shared with family members and, I don't know, tasting all these breweries that I don't get to from the suburbs and bringing stuff in from the city that they don't get.
So yeah.
I missed that.
We usually go out for Turkey Day. We stayed in and cooked. So it kind of led to an argument.
Okay.
And then, you know, we cooked it all again the next day.
But sure, it led to plenty of drinking, too.
And also that. Okay. Yeah, you know, and a lot of talking, so that was cool.
Nice. Well, since this is the official Half Acre sponsored podcast here, we're drinking more Half Acre beer.
It never stops, man. Some things stay the same.
I had to go get Big Hugs. We'll talk about Big Hugs here in a minute.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we need something easy drinking because we got a lot of stouts to drink about and talk about. I would have loved a 4% lager, but classic IPA.
I tell you, man, and that's no lie. It's Half Acre in place. That's all it says.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a bunch of foraged vegetables on the can.
Right.
That's about it.
And I believe it's 6%. I think it was like 6.7% the website said. So
yeah.
Not too crazy, but it has that like cherry caramel color that I'm used to yellow hay color every beer. And it's like, oh, roasted malts.
Yeah, right? It's, you know, nice caramel malts. And it drinks like a classic, like West Coast or Midwest, really.
Yeah.
It drinks like a Midwest IPA.
Because it's not too bitter. It's like just the right amount of bitterness that leaves you dry and lip smacking.
Yeah, and it's, you know, double IPAs can be kind of sweet. This kind of stays away from that too.
Yeah.
It's all there. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This would be a beer that would be boring, 6 years ago? And now it's like, oh, thank you, Half Acre.
We need a reminder of what just, you know, beer flavored beer is.
Right.
We just need a reminder of that. It's probably why people gravitate to Dovetail so much, right? We just want beer flavored beer.
That's a brewery I have not picked up or gone to at all this year.
I think that's an experience I miss a lot on site.
Yeah.
We had the cans, and they had just started canning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that full experience wasn't in the can yet, I don't think.
Right.
But going there and just being there is really a treat, hanging out
there. Yeah, there's something about the place and having the beers there and having the little beer, not...
The Kölsch, right?
Yeah, the Kölsch. I was like...
Yeah, I still don't understand that. They come in a tray and all these little, I think they're called Willie Belcher glasses.
Yeah, I just can't do that at home. Like, I can't...
Oh, man, just get you 12 Willie Belchers.
Yeah, that's not going over well at the house. Like, I got all these beers. These glasses are just for me when I want to have this one beer. 12 servings of it. Just get a bigger cup.
And I haven't read up, but I want to know why it comes in that way. Like, you know, the pill, the Kölsch. I think it's the Kölsch.
Yeah, the Kölsch.
I want to know why how it started where you got to have a whole tray of them. I don't understand.
I don't know. Probably easier to charge people more. if we give them tiny glasses, they'll drink more. Mm. So yeah, I picked this up. We're gonna sip on this as we talk about some stouts and some news.
Oh, you know what I saw about Half Acre? It's Half Acre, Jace. I was watching No Reservations on Hulu, and Anthony Bourdain's show.
Yeah.
And one of his final season, he was at El Bulli. It's like a river. It's like an oceanfront thing in Spain. It's like the number one restaurant in the world.
Yeah, I've been there. Barcelona. Yeah.
You really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so but
I went there. I think because he recommended it. Or it was
I don't know if
you
played it or not. Rack, you could never tell what Brad's play.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It's You know, it's like fine dining, like 15 courses, all super small,
maybe
all
wasn't
that kind
that
of
one,
stuff.
But.
Oh, but anyway, Half Acre made a beer for them.
Oh, really?
Okay. Back in, like, 2011.
Okay, maybe it wasn't that one. I didn't see Half Acre then. Well, we were drinking wine.
Yeah, it was Sanguis. So I'm like, you know. So we're talking 2011, 2012, Half Acre's making a beer for the number one restaurant in the world.
Okay.
So I'm like, this is bizarre. But, of course, Half Acre's making a beer for the number one restaurant
in the world.
That's crazy.
I don't know. There's a lot of good breweries over there in Barcelona.
Furthest I've been is the Dublin trip.
So, yeah. That's pretty. Yeah, Half Acre. I don't know. Get around. Huh. And then they're putting out as much beer as often as Revolution, pretty much. Especially like special one-off releases. This past week was Big Hugs release.
That was quick.
Three versions. Normal, and then do you remember what the other two were?
Well, one was barrel aged.
Barrel aged.
So.
And then probably the other one was barrel aged too. So this is a coffee stout. Nick's going to look it up. Yeah. This is, I believe, the second year it's in cans.
I tell you, man, it's. I think it's one of the oldest running stouts. I'm looking up Big Hugs. I need to be looking at Half Acre. It's one of the oldest running coffee stouts in the city, period.
Mm-hmm. And one of the first ones to use dark matter coffee in their beer, just because they were friends or friendly, and so this was the first time kind of dark matter was seen.
Imperial coffee stout with vanilla.
Oh, so vanilla, barrel, and normal.
Yeah.
Vanilla and barrel sold out very quickly, so I only ended up picking a 4-pack up normal.
Yeah, and I think the barrel was 2 packs, like, you know, 2 cans.
Okay, yeah. That's it. I wish I could have had either a 4-pack of one each variant and two. That's all I need. I just need one can.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect.
Like, you need a mix.
I mean, I need this. I need, we'll get to the sketchbook one, but it had 2, 2, and 2.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm surprised it's not an option. Because, I mean, they're obviously a crew that understands that we like new, because there's always something different coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
So I didn't bother getting up early and getting this order in the day of the release. I was like, Big Hugs, they make enough of it. I'll just get there when I get there.
Yeah, that's true. It's somebody that's going to hit distro. I know some OG Benthic hit distro. I think a 2-pack of that will set you back $30 at Benny's.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is delicious. Mm-hmm. If you're going to blow $30 on 2 beers, yeah, you'd be okay doing that.
And although our big cat, since what's his name, left.
Phineas.
Phineas left. It's not really. The cat is still kind of there, and this year's looks better than last year's. Last year's was kind of the design I wasn't a big fan of, but this year's kind of fun.
It's kind of a trippy, like an acid trip kind of vibe with the cat. And I think last year the cat didn't make an appearance at all.
That's right. That's why I didn't like it.
Yeah.
No cat.
I mean, that's part of it, right? Big Hugs, I think Big Hugs is a cat.
Yeah.
Right?
Is the Hugs a cat? Is that a
thing? I thought it was Hugs a cat. You know, staring in the corner, and it looks this creepy furry doll here that kind of looks like a gigantic cat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know why I've never seen that before. But yeah, Big Hugs was a cat. They were talking about, it was Gabriel. We interviewed Gabriel some years ago, and Gabriel's talking about, you know, hey, what's the biggest kind of, you know, fairiest thing we can do? You know, like, oh, we'll just have this big menacing cat, but he's just so big and lovable that he doesn't understand how terrorizing he is, and it's our version of the Imperial Stout. You know.
So, yeah, we got this. I feel like Half Acre's a crew. A lot of their designs have been going in this, like, 70s acid, just weird vibe. Even the can of In Place looks like a 70s print.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like a weird, like, their design team is going is eating mushrooms basically every day.
Even the boat, we're drinking out of Half Acre Bodum Master Taster glasses.
And the Bodum font is sort of that, like, that exact grooviness, same which cool vibe. Like, I dig it, dig what they're doing. So, we're going to drink a Big Hugs on another video. So, look for that on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Excited to try this year. I think I still have probably one from a couple years ago hanging around.
Hugs works. Hugs isn't trying to, like, move the needle as far as, like, in coffee intensity.
Yeah.
Hugs is trying to give you, like, an easy... easy is maybe not the right word, but they're trying to give you a 10% stout that is, like, accentuates... The coffee flavors accentuate the natural flavors of a regular stout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the stouts that was released this past week. Or past couple weeks. Another one was this sketchbook variety pack I picked up.
Now, is this a stout?
Yeah, so this is an Imperial Stout. They're Turbulence. It's a barrel-aged Imperial Stout.
Oh, right on.
And so there are...
Yeah, these are all different, man.
There's three versions here.
They
offered a mix pack, and I was like, yeah, I'm going for that. I think it was like $50 for this mix pack, and I got some little taster glasses, too.
Yeah. These are cute. Is this the Beetle?
The Beetle.
The design?
Yeah. We got normal, we got ancho pepper and cocoa nibs, and then toasted coconut. So this beer, I remember it came out, remember the mushroom cap version?
That's weird.
And I went up there and had it because Sean Curry was like, hey, we got whatever this mushroom cap one was.
Yeah, shout out to Sean Curry. I remember the mushroom cap one had the whole place smelling like syrup or something, they were saying.
Yeah.
And that was this stout?
That was this stout with those mushrooms.
Okay. What were those shrooms called? There's a certain kind of shroom that smells like
syrup. He will send me a Facebook message that it was this.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but yeah, they smelled like, or they gave it a maple syrup kind of vibe.
Yeah. Which, you don't think shrooms at all when you think maple syrup.
No. Yeah. So I was kind of wanted to see that one in cans, but I'm sure that's expensive beer to make. So again, we're going to drink one of these on another video.
And how about Sketchbook coming through with the Tall Boy barrel-aged toasted coconut stout? That sounds like my kind of party, boy.
I think that's the one Nick's eyeing here. So we'll probably do that one, you know, go coconut on another video. I haven't tried any of them yet. I've been saving this for us to dive into. So.
Good call. We can always count on Brad to find some things off the path that we otherwise would not be trying.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the two we did, we're going to talk about Revolution here, but the other two we missed was Cruz Blancas. That series came out.
The Luchador.
And I haven't made it over there again. I bet they still have some.
Last year, I think you could stroll in there and grab some.
And then the other one was... Oh, we had Black Friday happen.
Yeah. So if you so desired, could spend $30 on a bottle of barrel-aged beer with Goose Island. You know.
And you did, right?
I think I got an anniversary and a...
All right.
I say this with my head down, pointing, looking at the table. Yeah, I got anniversary and I got birthday.
Nice.
Okay. Actually, I sent Josh Riley some money at Kankakee.
Okay.
Because he's like, hey, I'm here. Do you want one? I'm like, yeah, sure.
That's one of the other ones that we missed coming out is the Bourbonnais Brickstones.
Dark Secret
series.
It's all happening too fast, Brad. That's right. The problem.
Which that means also those other people in Tinley Park.
Hailstorm,
their stouts probably came out too.
I feel like you're talking about the Vlad stuff,
yeah,
right?
Vlads.
I feel like that rolls. I feel like that's that thing rolls all year.
Okay, so.
Oh, look at this. Speaking of Brickstone, they have a Weller Bourbon Dark Secret, as well as a Vanilla Espresso Dark Secret.
Man, Weller barrels must have been prominent. Easy to get this year.
Yeah, they are making the rounds. We were talking, what was it, Fresh Fest? And, over the summer. And there's a guy in Houston who's trying to start a brewery, Austin maybe. And he was talking about how he got some Blantons and some Weller 12 barrels.
Huh.
And his brewery's not even open yet. And he's got Weller 12 barrels. Yeah, you talk about Brickstone with the Weller. Shit. Well, Goose, they're one of their feet. They co-branded with Old Forester and Weller. Right.
And then this Revolution lineup that's happening this week, the Double Barrel has Weller, right?
Double Barrels and Weller. On that interview that they had with Marty and Jim Seaback, that stars in Weller Barrels this year. Weller Special Reserve Barrels.
Yeah. Man, what's the Weller year?
It's the barrel of choice. It's the barrel of choice in 2020, man. Yeah. It's bizarre. Weeded bourbon, and apparently brewers like the way it, you know. I think Weller and I'd say Four Roses.
Okay.
Because I had a Brooklyn Brewery, Black Ops. It's their barrel-aged style. That was in Four Roses barrels. And then Half Acres Benthic is 50% Four Roses, 50% Willet.
Okay.
So, yeah, between Weller and Four Roses. You know.
And then we had the Half Acre barrel one come out, too, that you got some cans of.
Talking about Benthic.
Not Half Acre, Haymarket.
Oh, Haymarket. Oh, shit, I got to bring the Haymarket cans.
Right. So, man, it was like...
It's Cold Dark Night. That's the Doppelbach. And the barley wine.
It's like crazy release that I'm like wondering how we kept up with this.
It's just two
outside
of, us,
of like, we would go to all these things and have all of these.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, I don't know. That one came out. I can't get to it.
Shit, yeah, I bring the Half Acre one, man. I mean, the Haymarket one. Yeah. Dude, I dig their barley wine. Okay. Their barley wine is strong. Yeah.
So then this Revolution one coming out this week. Tell me, what do we got?
Yeah, man. Mine Shaft Gap sounds like it's straight jacket in cognac barrels.
Okay. Right?
In cognac barrels for a year. And then, of course, what is slowly becoming my favorite in the whole lineup is fucking Rye Way to Heaven.
Okay.
Which is a rye wine in rye barrels.
Okay. This one looks, the can looks a little different. It's like white. I feel like it might have been like yellow or gold last time.
Whatever that gold is on the inside.
Was the flipped color.
They flipped the colors. They need to do that for Cafe Dietz because some of these spots have Cafe from last year and they also have Cafe from this year. And honestly, if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't know which one was the
20. They need to change up just something on slightly, there.
Not
just,
much.
Yeah.
Don't do the two brothers thing. Just flip the shit completely. And then double barrel VSOD. So I want to say last year they had a VSOD, extended aging 2 years, Death Star. And then this year is the double barrel release where for that second year of aging, they transfer barrels and put it into a fresh barrel.
Okay.
So we're talking 17%. We're talking a whole different, introducing a whole new flavor to the beer. Okay. For the second year of aging.
And these are, so it's aged 2 years where something like Firestone Walker's double barrel ale, that's like just in barrels for like a short amount of time.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on how that beer works because I like that beer and it is called double barrel, but it's not like an overly boozy thing.
I think it's not barrels for a short amount of time or it is a blend of two barrels. I forget. I think that's just like in a barrel. Then move to another barrel all within like a 6 to 9 month period. Like that's what I feel like if I remember correctly. It's been so long since I've had that beer now. One of my favorites. And
I dig that beer.
I haven't had a Firestone Walker beer in a long time.
Same.
But this is like each year is in their separate barrel. So that's like a bigger deal. You're going to get a lot more flavor, a lot more of that booze, oakiness, whatever's in the barrel.
Yeah, and then I think, and then the 17% is something you don't see too often.
Right.
Outside of the brewery, right? The brewery and the Family Root Brewery out on the West Coast in Orange County.
Oh, the brewery, yeah.
All their stuff is big format, 18%. Yeah. But yeah, 17%'s a lot. Mm-hmm. These other ones are 12 to 15. So
we're going to drink a double barrel.
Goddamn. Way to Heaven is 15%? Mm-hmm. Goddamn.
We're going to drink a double barrel on a YouTube video because I think we did a Rye Way last time.
Yeah.
So that's up there. We don't need to do that again. This Mindshift Gap, I'm excited to try because that one is like different. Was there a barley wine last year?
Yeah, they're probably coming with barley wines every year.
What was it called last year?
I think they used the fancy Armagnac barrels last year, I want to say, right? The name's escaping me.
Okay. But I don't remember. We have all the cans. Just look at our...
We need to drink them.
Look at our, archive.
Bro, we need to drink these cans.
I know. I don't know. We need friends. We need help. We'll get to them at some point. We have 2 years of revolution party here at the office, at the studio. These come out Friday. Hopefully this episode's up before that. And Double Barrel was already sold out. It sold out very quickly.
Yeah.
And the other two were still available as of recording this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to give these a go. I still haven't tried Maple Deeth yet. These are coming out very fast. Even though it's like once a month, the months are very short.
They're not fucking around. And then I think as the year gets colder, you know, I'm going to appreciate it more that, you know, you got something to look forward to with three releases with what feels like every month.
Mm-hmm.
What was that other one, Brad? I'm just going to keep digging here, man. It's driving me nuts, man.
We'll have to check it out. But yeah, Cognac Barrel, I don't know. It sounds fun.
Yeah, because I think we talked about it before, too. I think Cognac is... you know, the Cognac region in France, but then Cognac starts as wine, where bourbon starts with, it's mostly corn with either rye or wheat.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I've never gone down the Cognac path. Like, I don't know enough about it.
You know,
I know people dig it.
You know, Hennessy's popular in a lot of rap songs. That's usually a four-year Hennessy. It's really young and bright and a little messy, honestly. And, like, that shit always gives me, like, a headache or a backache.
Okay.
You know, some of the older cats I used to run with, they would talk about, like, Remy Martin is the one.
Oh, right. I've heard Remy. Of that. Yeah.
And then if there's no Remy, then you would order a Hennessy. But, it's very bright and fragrant because it's wine. You know, it starts as wine, so it's very bright and fragrant. So it kind of, after a while, man, I just kind of stayed away from Cognac. Yeah.
I'd love to, like, talk to someone that either knows a lot about it or, like, what makes someone go Cognac over a bourbon or a scotch even. Like, why... I find if I'm gonna go down that like bourbon path, I'd rather have like the counter be maybe sake, like, and so you get like two different, completely different worlds. But yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. The only cognac that I would probably drink now is the Hennessy XO.
Okay.
Which is like that's where the one that kind of tastes the most like bourbon. Where the fruits are.
You want the bourbon.
Because I want the bourbon flavors. Yeah.
That's kind of like the scotches. I want those like less peaty scotches and the more bourbon whiskey scotches. But that's me. Yeah. I like that. I like that bourbon flavor better.
Yeah. It does impart a different type of sweetness. Because, you know, corn and bourbon imparts a sweetness. I've had some bourbons that were full of, you know, dark ripe apple and vanilla and caramel, right? And that's all coming from corn and the barrel. And then I think these cognacs are a different type of sweetness, though. You know, that plum and that, you know, that wine sweetness is it's different. It's just not better or worse. It's just a different profile.
Yeah. All right. We'll get into it at some point. And, yeah, pick up these four packs. Like, get them while you can.
Dude, I never thought I'd be into... Like, well, I've always been into barley wines, but the rye wine thing is something that, A, people weren't really making a whole lot of.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're doing them so well that it's kind of exciting to see how, you know, these malt forward beers have all these different characteristics, you know. So that's cool.
Nice. All right. I'm excited. We got to get through these. We got to get through this episode so we can get drinking some barrel-aged beers. We got two bits of news before we get out of here. One is this Metropolitan story that seems like a mess.
Apparently, they've been overpaying on their lease at their gorgeous riverfront brewery,
right,
and tap room. It's part of a complex, So that building is it's what do you how would you say it? It shares it's like an office park that they're a tenant in this office park.
Right. Right? That has Metropolis Coffee, Metropolitan, a distillery just opened there. I believe there's a hotel or like a mini hotel that was going to. I don't know what status that is at right now. And I thought there was a food place opening, but that hasn't happened yet either.
Man, that sounds great because it's just like right down the street.
Mm-hmm. But the distillery had just opened in the last month or two, so it's there now. And Metropolitan apparently signed this lease that accounted for, 9,000 extra square feet that they believe might have been like a floor that got torn down during the reconstruction.
Yeah.
And this was kind of their bad for not checking the lease that they signed, but they were in the middle of construction. I don't know why they were, I don't know what happens in like all these business office leases, but like, yeah. Why were you already building out before you signed the lease? But
yeah, they're paying for more space than they thought they agreed to.
Right.
Yeah.
And they didn't notice it for 2 years until afterwards, as they're like trying to be like, why is the space so expensive?
So what's the response to that was to try to talk it out. And when that didn't work, they just said, well, we're not going to pay because we only want to pay for, you know, the, what is it, 8,000 versus the 10,000 square feet, for example. I know that's off.
Yeah, but I forget what it is. Why the landlord wasn't like, fuck you then? And now he's like, 2 years later?
This is rough. It's, some accounts say that, you know, at Metro's... Metro was on the hook for like $800,000 for this place.
Right. There was something on Reddit that said they had this money that they've been paying like an escrow, so they do have this money, so they're not like short this money. They do have it if they need to pay it. I don't know. But that was someone on Reddit, so I don't know if...
Yeah, that's where I saw the original story. Before it ran in any on Block Club or anything else, I saw it on Reddit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the landlord is trying to be like... you're serving food, which they're not because they don't have a food license, or you tried to obtain a food license, which isn't true. They never did. They had people in the shared space, which it's COVID. You have to line up. If I don't know if you've gone over there at all.
Not since March.
So you have to wait outside. Like if you're waiting for your table or your like time is like 6 o'clock and it's 5:45, you need to wait until it's your time and then you get seated. And so there's sort of like a mini line that gets formed, but that's a shared space. So they're not supposed to be able to do that, but hey, it's COVID. That's what you have to do. Like, I guess you could have everyone line up outside.
This landlord sounds like a jerk, right?
Yeah.
Like for stuff like that. And then
And then noise complaint, like who's complaining about noise?
No one else is in the space.
No one lives right there. Like if you're being so loud that the noise of people carry down the river, like that's crazy. It's not like they have rock bands.
You know, and I think the knock on having, you know, if you work downtown, you could take a taxi cab, a water taxi up to Metro.
You can go all the way.
I mean, but the river's not, the river's too shallow.
Yeah.
So you can't.
Right.
Okay. But I mean, so what's this guy talking about? He's the landlord of a place that's got a dock. But you can't even get boats coming from downtown. So why are you so upset? Why are you so angry?
And, what, you're going to kick this brewery out? Nobody is coming into your space. Do you know what's happening with commercial lease, too? Like, it seems like he's in trouble.
I think it was the top floor that got torn down to make room for some tanks. But the landlord counted that as occupiable space still, even though there's no actual floor.
Right.
I think that's the argument that the landlord's making. Yeah. So that's bizarre. I like Metro. I hope they come out on the other end of this.
Yeah, you know. Tracy is a fighter. So she will figure this out. Like Metro doesn't go anywhere. I think they get this sorted out.
Yeah.
The space is beautiful. They spend a lot of time there. They are a staple. If they came down to it and they were like, hey, we need help, I think people would like flock to them and be like, here's $1,000, here's $2,000, like whatever, get your shit together, let's get this, keep going.
Yeah, and this is the closest, like you talked about this distillery and the coffee folks. Actually, I think the coffee program with Metro. I think it's those folks,
yeah.
Right? So all these things are kind of moving in. You know, there's a space in Denver called The Source where it's just kind of like this, it's a craft food court, essentially, right? And it's got some of the same elements, and Cricket Stave is in there,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, and this is the closest thing we've got in Chicago to something like that, to something cool where it's all artisan, local producers, all doing different things, all doing fun stuff in the same little office.
Right, it's kind of like The Plant.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's kind of like the
West South Side kind of thing. Yeah.
So, I mean, for this landlord to get, you know, stick his nose in it and try to ruin it when they're trying to do something great there is, you know, is irresponsible. You know.
I bet he's short on money. I bet other things were supposed to come in there and have backed off or paused, and he's like, well, I have to pay the taxes on this, and I got no one coming in. Where am I gonna get this money? Oh, these guys are.
Yeah. And he's stressed out, so now he's taking pain pills, and then that escalated to heroin. And
what?
No. I don't know this guy. But, I mean, come on. He should be helping them make that work.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. But, yeah. But, hey.
I feel like it gets sorted out, and then we don't hear anything about it.
I think so. Goose Island, the original Goose, what is it, Clybourne? It was always dire straits when the lease is up. Well, no, this is the end of the road. We can't figure out an agreement with the landlord. That was always
almost closed a dozen times. I would have swore. I would have put money on it that it would have closed during COVID times for real, and it hasn't yet.
Yeah, keep on trucking. Yeah, so so it'll get figured
out. Might double down on my bet on that.
I went there and got the Ozzy burger there. It was pretty good.
Oh,
you get like an Ozzy helmet. You get the helmet. You get the White Sox helmet. Get the Ozzy rookie card. You get some fried plantains, and you get like a double burger or something.
Okay.
I'm like, man, this is cool. Oh, and you get the beer. You get the Sox beer.
Oh, all
right. I'm like, shit, for like $20. I'm like, hey.
That's a lot for $20.
Dude, it was legit, man. Yeah.
Crazy. And then the last story is this two brothers rebranding. That looks like they decided to go back to their original clip art option.
It's very much Microsoft, what is it, Paint? Remember that Microsoft Paint?
Yeah.
It looks like this can't be real, man.
It's like someone found the original branding from, I believe, like 98 when they started. Yeah, and it was like, this one. What about this? What if we use this?
It'll be like a cool throwback thing, right? It's like it's almost 8-bit.
Yeah.
Or something, right? I don't get it, man. But yeah, there's an image out there of all their brands, and they all look
wobbly.
Yeah.
That's one of their beers.
it just looks like something's gone wrong with this rebrand.
Right. It has their little like spiral on it. The colors are bad. I can't picture what the current branding is.
Maybe that's part of the issue. I tell you, two crews I like, two brothers, and I like Wild Onion. But, you know, their branding has always left something to be desired, both of those crews.
Right.
Yeah, so.
They're just kind of there. They're doing their thing. And they're not making beers that you want to be seen drinking. Like, I'll pour that in a glass.
What was the beer they had? The 23. They had
the Jordan beer.
Like, hey, you guys can't do that. You guys, you know, Mike's going to come for you. You can't do that. You got to change that. That's wild. I hope they figure that out because what that is, what we saw.
Yeah, I feel like.
What's the source of that? Is that the website?
I don't know. Somebody like Chicago Beer or somebody on Twitter found this picture. And I feel like they're branding. Currently wasn't bad. Their beers are in Costco and, you know, they're all over the place. But
and then, you know, even Goose, they rebooted the Matilda design a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was something you didn't really have to mess with at all. I thought it looked great. But, you know, weird color scheme, like, you know, big, what is it, like old English lettering. They just changed it completely. So, I mean, you know, people still trying to find themselves, man. No, that shit is real. That shit's on their website, Brad.
Okay. You let me see it again?
Hold on. Let me go back.
I haven't been. Two Brothers was the last place I had a beer and food at before COVID. It was in the It was as things were happening, and I was concerned when I was there. So, but that was one of the last places I had gone to. I think I might have got a pinball, or I posted a picture on our Instagram.
It is rough out here, Brad. Oh, yeah, there they are. Look at that shit, man.
Yeah.
That's actually, those are the new brands.
That's bad. That's what that looked like.
I think we had this one.
Yeah. The pinball, that's bad. The lager.
I feel like that's kind of the same.
That one, yeah, the 20 plus looks like. They just need to hire an actual designer rather than getting one of their kids to constantly do it.
So the label we saw wasn't as bad. What do you call this? It's like a pinwheel. Each bottle is a different color pinwheel. And then there's a stamp with a name on it on the front of each one.
Right. Isn't that like their spiral? Or I call it their spiral. But
oh, that's right. It's a spin on this little spiral.
Right. So the bottles now look like beer from like the early 2000s. Like this is your default beer. We have the yellow one. We have the green one. And we have the blue one.
Yeah. It's like an NSYNC or Britney Spears video in like late 1999. This feels like that, which might be what they're going for.
It's not going to... That ends badly now.
Party on, Two Brothers, man. Whatever you guys do, man. Party on, man.
Yeah. Oof, ouch. All right. Should we end it on that, or we got anything else?
One more bit of news. The good folks at Phase 3 plan a double size of their brewery out in Lake Zurich. They sent some plans to the board, so they want to expand by almost 7,000 square feet, and they currently have 7,000 square feet. So the plan is that they want to double. They're partying hard out there. And
damn.
You know, some of their barrel-aged releases that are membership-only are going for $600 on secondary.
What?
The beers are good, but I think it's the membership thing too. Like you can't get this beer unless you're in this club, bro. Mm-hmm. And that's driving the secondary price through the fucking roof.
Okay.
So good for them, man.
Good for them. I almost never have their beers. But
because you know, a lot of times you got to go there. You can get the IPAs, but you know the cool shit. You kind of got to go there to get it.
Right.
So
I only have a Two Brothers beer when I go there now. So I guess it's kind of the same thing. But I got to go there.
This is turning into the blue jeans with the T-shirt tucked in the blue jeans podcast right here.
Is that the Two Brothers crowd?
That's the Two Brothers. That's the Two Brothers Chicago Beer Society crowd right there.
Oh.
They all got the shirt tucked in the jeans with the belt.
And they're drinking Two Brothers. Yep. See that. All right. Yeah. We got some barrel-aged beer to drink. On that note, let's get out of here. Nick, where can people get in touch? We're not here.
Man, I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, website, ChicagoBeerPass.com.
Get off my lawn.
And check out the YouTube channel because we're going to be posting all those barrel-aged videos, stout videos. So let's do it. Take care.
Cheers.